Hey, what's up? It's Wojo. Welcome back to another awesome episode of Life Nerd Show podcast. This one is not going to be on video. And I'm really excited about this one. I'm solo on this. Peter will not be joining us. And I'm going to really dive into some of the depths of the Life Nerd system, some of our philosophies, unpack why and where some people get stuck with pursuing their vision, and kind of some of the things that I've seen. Gosh, I've been doing this since 2009. And I've learned a lot. And so, you know, if you're not where you want to be in your life right now, and if you feel like you're stuck on the treadmill, if you are maybe looking for a different perspective, you're seeking a non-grind mentality or a non-hustle culture kind of answer to what life should be about, and I use the word should very carefully because everyone's is different, then I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. And so let's kind of just zoom out for a second and talk about the Life Nerd philosophy as a whole. Like, our mission, our whole goal is to help you live the life you want to live. Now, for some people that truly might be like, hey, I just want to work all the time and make all the money in the world, which is awesome. That's cool. If that's your thing and you've created a vision, we'll talk about that in a second, then my hat is off to you and I'm your biggest cheerleader. But for most people, you know, there's a buffet style life that is more likely what you want. And what I mean by that is you'll have a little of this, little of that, and an assortment of things that all kind of fit together to give you the life you want. And so, you know, the problem is a lot of people don't have or aren't living the life they had dreamed of. And maybe it's one that they feel like they've fallen short of, or, you know, the promises that were given to them when they were younger just never materialize. Like, you know, like when you're a kid, you just have so much enthusiasm. You have so much, like, you know, bright eye, bushy tail, you know, energy to, and you're just, you know, the sky's the limit. You don't realize there's this thing called life and bills and obligations and, you know, heart attacks and cholesterol. And you kind of approach life from a naive perspective, which I think, quite honestly, is beautiful. And, you know, I have two young girls now. And, you know, we had a snow day today and I'm seeing out in the yards, just like, they don't care that it's 26 degrees out. They're just going for it. And I love that. And somewhere along the line, we kind of let the realities of life, or at least the perceived realities of life, is kind of a mix probably, get in the way of us pursuing the things that are most important. And we lose that, you know, we lose that ability to dream, to choose the things, you know, out of excitement and that we want to do. And we kind of default to like, oh, I got to do this. I got to go to work. I got to, you know, whatever, clean my house. And yeah, some of those things are certainly part of being an adult. But like, I think the bigger tragedy of this thing called adulting is when you lose that sparkle in your eye and you kind of start to settle for average. And what happens is, like, you know something's better out there, and you kind of yearn for it, but at the same time you probably look around and you're not seeing a whole lot of other people, unless you're in Life Nerd, living that. You know, John and Sally, your next door neighbors, like, you know, they go to work every day and they come home and they have a couple hours with their kids, and then, you know, they're doing errands on the weekend, and, you know, you have family members who are kind of just grinding it out, and other people who are just kind of like, and, you know, you just see and you be like, huh, these, you know, these are smart people. They must know something I don't know, and maybe this is just the way it's supposed to be. And we kind of go along with that, right? And, you know, even though you're exhausted, even though you feel like you're overworked, even though you're not quite fulfilled the way you want to be, you just don't see any other way out. And, you know, that is a place that certainly I know I felt that way when I had my first job out of my PhD. I remember looking around, and I was literally a few weeks in, and I'm like, this, I can't imagine coming to work like over and over, like literally for, you know, whatever it is, 40 years, the average, you know, the average career, and doing this. And like, yet I looked around and I saw those other people who seemed to be okay doing that. Now, I can't say they seemed particularly enthusiastic. A few of them seemed to really like it, but most of them were, they just seemed to be there and go through the motions. And I'm like, man, life is too short to just go through the motions. It's too short to just, like, you know, push, you know, autopilot and sit back, you know, because at the end of the day, like, life is so short. And we'll talk about that in a second too. But like, you know, if you really think about it, you know, most people follow this path is there's a few things coming into it. The first one is that, you know, people don't have a vision for what they want. Now, so what is a vision? It's a combination of kind of like, you know, your dreams, your aspirations, your goals, your identity, who you want to be, what you want to do, what you want to have, like, you know, it, all of these things. Like, if there's a perfect version of you in your schedule, what would that look like? What would perfect Peter do? Or what would perfect Kathy do? What would perfect, you know, Michael do? Like, and that's you, right? And so what would they be? How would they show up for the world? And that's kind of your vision. And part of the reason for not having a vision is because, you know, it's, no one teaches this, right? You know, I went to a high school recently and shared this stuff, and they looked at me like I had four heads. Now, it also could be because I'm an adult and they're like, what did you guys drag me to? But like, it was a, it met with a little bit of, you know, resistance. And, you know, I think anything new is typically, you know, doubted or, you know, you're skeptical, and that's fine. That's a protective mechanism. Nothing wrong with that. But when we let that skepticism and pessimism kind of take over and like, oh, that's not realistic, or what's the point, or why bother create a vision? Like, because the other thing here is people don't want to be disappointed. I mean, all of us have been disappointed or hurt either by something that did or didn't happen, or by others, and we've been let down. And so people like are sometimes reluctant to go for the big thing. They're reluctant to go for the thing that is not commonly attained. And as a result of that, we kind of just settle, right? Because it's better to be safe than disappointed. It's better to be, you know, average than be, you know, embarrassed. And so we kind of just play along. We play along, we play nice, right? We've been taught to play nice in the sandbox, right, when we're kids. And so we go through life kind of doing the same thing. And so when you don't have a vision, now you have a life less than it could be, less than it should be. And the reason for that is because you haven't aligned the things that are most important to you with the way you are living. And, you know, and so the things that you would find fulfilling or exciting, or you'd have passion around, like if other people around you aren't doing that, like you aren't going to pursue that. And because we learn, you know, one of the best ways and most common ways we learn is by looking at other people, by modeling others and looking at that. And so you really need to have other people around you that are doing this. And if you, now that's not to say that you might have parts of your life that you really enjoy. Maybe you have a hobby, maybe, you know, you have an awesome relationship with your spouse or your kids, and that's awesome. But there still could be some area of your life that isn't fully hitting on all cylinders. And that's really where the vision will help you. You know, that's one area why people don't have a vision. And the other thing I think is what happens is when you don't have a vision, and we're all wired like this. We all have a need to fit in. We're built for community and for connection. That's just the way God made us. And yet at the same time, we also want to know where we fit in that community. In other words, like what is the hierarchy, however you say that word, status, and where do we fit in? Like, where are we in that pecking order? Where are we in the totem pole? And what we end up doing is like using money and possessions, you know, as the easiest way to make comparisons, because that's really the most outward, objective like sign of success is like, hey, I guess, you know, we'll just default to this metric or this measuring stick for how well we're doing. And, you know, many times that's it's a Pyrrhic victory. It's a shallow existence because like you can get all this stuff, but like at some point, like it doesn't fulfill you. And I will say this, like I've had I've had all the toys, you know, barring a private jet, like I've had all the toys and they're fun. They are fun. But like, number one, it's a whole lot less fun when there's no one to enjoy it with. And number two, it can kind of get to be a hassle, like sometimes of like try to move this stuff around and protect it, insure it, clean it, maintain it, all this other stuff, right? Like, and by the way, I love nice stuff. I have plenty of toys still now. Got a motorcycle, got a bunch of guitars, got a home gym. You know, I'm happy with my vehicle, all this other stuff, right? And, you know, back in the day, I had multiple stuff too. We had boats and jet skis and whatever. And so those things are fun, but like we gotta really kind of dig deeper to find what we want to be successful in other than just these toys and other than just money and possessions. And that's not to say that you don't want to put your kids through college. That's amazing. I love that. Or you want to buy your mom a house or have be debt free. Those are all great. Like, but the thing is like, that's, incomplete. It's just not the full picture. And, you know, the full picture is really setting your life up on a daily schedule to give you a sense of fulfillment and to give you control of your time. And yes, your money is important there too, because you could have all the time in the world and all the health in the world, but if you have no money, that's going to limit your options. But, you know, conversely, you could have all the money in the world and not have any free time to enjoy it. You know, there's a book out there. It's interesting. I like it a lot. It's called Die with Zero. And the author is named Bill Perkins, and he talks about how as you age, your ability to experience and enjoy activities goes down. Many times associated with a decrease in health, like you're not going to climb Everest when you're 80, or maybe even 50 many times, but you will when you're 30. And, you know, you're not going to go jet skiing with the same, you know, approach as when you're 20 is when you're 90. And so, like, he says how your ability to enjoy things goes down with age. And so this is where one of the things I think that was interesting that he said as well is he talks about this idea of, like, so many of us working past what we actually need to make to have an optimal life. And an optimal life meaning one that has the most experiences. Because the other thing that I really enjoyed about the book is he talks about the memory dividend, which is, like, you know, when you go on a trip, you don't just experience that trip then, but every time you connect with your friends or talk about the trip, you kind of relive it. And so that was another cool little tidbit I got from the book too. But, like, the thing to recognize is, like, it's really about finding what you want and finding that balance. Let me also say this, like, you know, far too many of us spend way too long working. And this can be, number one, because of the reason I mentioned before of trying to accumulate more material possessions to outdo the Joneses. It could be due to fear, like, you know, what if, like, what if the market changes? And I know this is a scary time right now for a lot of people, and there's been record numbers of layoffs at many organizations. And, you know, we even had a government shutdown here recently, and people are afraid, and I get that. And there is wisdom to make hay while the sun is shining, but at the same time, like, when fear is your driver and you've been grinding constantly and you have not been able to take your foot off the gas, that's a sign something's wrong. Hey, we'll get right back to our episode, but before we do, I want to tell you about something that will change your life when you choose to attend. And what I'm referring to is our Get a Life Getaway. This is a 3-day immersive training that Peter and I teach, and we walk you through the blueprint of how to create the detailed plan for the life you've always dreamed about. Peter, tell them what the event's like.
Yeah, so it is very personalized to you. You get to work on your own life. You let go of all the past hurts, and you actually get to create your life vision, create the life that you truly want. So how would they go about doing that, Bojo?
Dude, go to lifeinair.com, and you will see a tab for upcoming events. Click on the link. You'll read a description of the event, and then we will see you at the event itself. We do these all over the country. We do several per year, also virtually as well. And we would love to be there and walk you through this process to help you create the dream life you've always wanted. Let's get back to the episode. And so Life in Air, you know, I believe is for everyone. It is for both full-time employees as well as entrepreneurs. I will say that most people in Life in Air, and who I'd say get the most value, you know, everybody gets some value, but the people who get most value are probably the business owners. And, you know, we'd have a lot of investors and entrepreneurs. And the reason is because typically when you create your vision, you'll recognize that you only have, you know, 20 hours a week for work. And many full-time employees don't have that flexibility to work that little and still live their full vision. Like, so a business owner, however, you can, you know, set your business up in a way for you to have that flexibility and freedom. Now most don't, and we can talk about that in a second too. But, you know, someone who's really willing to take destiny into their own hands and make those big changes are the people that get the most benefit from Life in Air. And so, you know, I think getting back to this, like, is, you know, I kind of glossed over this, but, you know, the stats on death are pretty good. They're pretty solid. We are all going to die. And yet, if you look at things like obituaries, you know, overall, I did a lot of research on this. Like, they predominantly mention things like character and how loving this person was and how they were there when you needed them and how they were reliable and how they were, you know, just there to support people. And I very rarely see an obituary that was focused on their professional attainments. Like, they'll mention those in one sentence. Yet people live their lives by that one sentence. And we're being measured by something other than how we're living our lives. And the way we should be living our lives is maybe more in alignment with what people are going to be saying about us in the obituary that they read, right? And so we have to stop living. As if this is a dress rehearsal, and you know, let fear squander the life we were meant to live. I just had a friend literally pass last week. He was 47, had a heart attack. It really hit home quite a bit. Because you know, all these, and we get these little nudges from things that happen around us. And my encouragement for you is to listen to that nudge, like listen to that little feeling in your gut that says something needs to change, and don't lose that feeling, because so many people will kind of just go back to the way they were living before and not make any changes and just kind of continue on. The result is a life filled with regret. You know, we don't take our mortality seriously. You know, Jesse Itzler, who's married to Sarah Blakely from Spanx, and he's done a bunch of awesome entrepreneurial stuff on his own too. I saw one of his tweets recently. He said, 100% of people know that they're going to die. How many of you have your graveyard plot picked out? And to me, that's really a slap in the face to the reality that most of us, we know we're going to die, but we push it off. Like we imagine it's not real until it's really oftentimes too late. And so it all starts with that vision. It all starts with the urgency of making a change. And the cool thing about this is, like, when you make that change, others will see that, and you will inspire others to also pursue their vision. You know, one of the things that we do with Life Inner Members, for instance, is we allow them to bring guests to our events for free. And the reason is because, like, one of the big things about being a Life Inner is it's a whole lot more fun when you're around other Life Inners. And sometimes it's my friends across the country that I see and hang out with more than my friends that are local here, because they're working. They can't get the time off. They're lucky if they can squeeze away for lunch. Meanwhile, you know, my Life Inner friends we're going on trips, and we're going snowmobiling, and we're going to, you know, all these other places. And it's just a different way of living. And so, you know, find those people around you to help you with that. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, so that's the vision stuff. The other thing I want to talk about really briefly is, you know, when you're wrapped up in your business, many times you gotta lift up the hood and see what's under that. Are you working because of an owner-centric business? And in which case, have you really learned how to automate, delegate, eliminate, like these are the things we talk about at the Business Builder Workshop? Have you restructured your business in a way that could run without you being there? Like, you know, have you been able to pressure test your business and take a day off or a week off or a month off and see if things are still running when you get back? Like, and that's a great test. And maybe if you've set up the right team, the business is even better. And so that's another consideration to really think about as well. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we all have bad experiences with employees or team members, and we like, nobody can do it as well as I can. And, you know, can't trust anybody and blah, blah, blah. But I'll tell you, many times that comes back on us because we just haven't developed the skills to spot the right person, to screen the right person, to train and onboard the right person, to lead that person. And so it's not really, it shouldn't be any surprise if you've had a bad experience, if you've kind of just thrown somebody in the deep end of the pool because you hired them because they had a pulse, right? Like that's what a lot of business owners do. And so like all that to say is like it starts with the vision, then you have to learn how to run a business. And it doesn't matter what business you're in, they're all the same when it comes to a high level. Like they all have the same challenges, departments. Everybody has to market. Everybody has to, you know, have customer support and fulfillment and operations and sales and things like that. And so you really got to create a business to do that. Now, the last thing I'll say here is there is a third step to this process. So if the first one is create your vision, the second one is to really optimize and maximize your active income. The third one is really to use some of the profits from your business and then use that to invest into cash flow producing assets. This is essentially the Life Inner model, and this is where we have a lot of real estate investors who use real estate as a vehicle. And the third step really is now going back to replace some of the needed income you need in step two to live your life. Meaning like, hey, if I can, you know, buy a rental property, and I'm not particular to rental properties, and I don't have any right now, but this is a common one to to talk about because people can relate to it. And if that spits off $2,000 a month, well, and you have that thing debt free, or maybe it's with somebody else's cash, or maybe it's your cash, it doesn't matter. You can, you know, take your foot off the gas a little bit if you want to in your business. But I'll tell you this, if you've set up your business really well to begin with, and you really don't have to, it's just extra money. And that's extra money for you, your family, to give away for charity. You know, there's all kinds of amazing things here. And so, like, I know this has been kind of like a little bit of a, you know, a spoken word kind of like torque style podcast episode here, but I had a few things I just wanted to kind of get out and really kind of like impress upon you, like, this is actually possible. This is 100% real. It is not get rich quick. You're not going to create your vision and then do all this in a month. You know, it takes time. It takes time, for sure, for certain. It takes work. Yes. But I'll tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it to do it now. And then at some point in the future, you're going to look back and see like, wow, I can't believe how far I've come. And it's going to be amazing. So if you like this episode, if this is the kind of stuff you want to hear more of, let us know. Come join our Facebook group. It's just, if you search Life in Air, you'll find it. It's a private group where we can just talk shop and I can share and help you with your vision, or if you have business questions, or if you have questions about, you know, passive income. And by the way, there is no such thing as passive income. It's really recurring income, but because everybody knows the term passive income, that's all we use. And that's about it. And I hope you enjoyed this. We will see you next week. Everyone, give us a like, give us a share, and we'll talk to you soon.